This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'd like to call to order the Senate Ag and Natural Resource Committee. At this time, I'd like to greet the listeners on the internet, and I'd also like to welcome all the folks that have taken time to come to your state capital to participate in the process. At this time, I would like to have the pages come forward, or at least one, and introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from and where you're going.
I'm Avery Weinheimer. I'm from Oneida, and I'm going to SDSU in the fall.
Thank you for that. I'd like to also remind everyone, make sure that your phones are on silent. And with that, the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Klum.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Sohold.
Here.
Foster.
Here.
Heinert. Is excused. Youngberg.
Here.
Kamak.
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum. And with that, we do have a, we need to bring a motion to place on the record that we need to do a correction for the minutes for February 18th meeting, if I could have a motion on that.
Mr. Chair, we need to approve the corrected minutes of February 18th. There was a correction on this, on Senate Bill 150, on the votes on the substitute motion to defer to the 41st day. I bring that motion now.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Youngberg to correct the minutes from February 18th, seconded by Senator Klum. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
And with that, we will also entertain a motion for approval of the minutes of the last meeting.
Second.
Moved by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The minutes are approved. At this time, I would like to remind folks, if you're planning on testifying, make sure that you sign in at the podium in the back and make sure that you sign in legibly. It makes our staff's job a lot easier. And I would also like to remind you, if you have anything to distribute, make sure that you make use of our very able pages. And all questions for the committee will be addressed through the chair. And with that, we will start out with, we're going to start out with the appointment of Russ Olson to Russ Olson, Lake County, Wentworth, South Dakota, to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. Does anyone wish to speak on his behalf?
Good morning, Chairman Kamak, members of the committee. My name is Jason Simmons. I'm a policy advisor in the governor's office. Commissioner Russ Olson could not be here this morning, so I guess he asked, and I'm sorry if it wasn't communicated, if we could defer that to another date.
That would be acceptable.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry for any miscommunication on that, Mr. Chairman.
If you would get back to myself or the secretary, and we'll reschedule that.
Absolutely, we can do that.
Right. So the appointment for Russ Olson is deferred to another day. And with that, we're going to move on to consideration of bills. And the bill before us is House Bill 1008 to legalize the growth, production, and transport of industrial hemp in the state and to declare an emergency.
Well, good morning, committee. Senator Josh Klum, District 20. And finally, the day you've all waited for all session has arrived, and you get to hear House Bill 1008, which is the industrial hemp bill that we've all been talking about for many, many years. A lot of work and time has gone into this bill. It's been an effort between the summer study and second floor. Representative Lesmeister and Representative Qualm have really been the driving force behind this effort, and I really want to thank the governor's staff as well for all their work that they've put into this bill. As you're probably aware, that the governor proposed her four guardrails earlier this year, and in the House Ag Committee, an amendment was added to the bill, and through that amendment, three of those four guardrails that the governor requested were added to the bill. Did it change much of the structure of the bill that the summer study had proposed? It just reorganized some things and put her concerns into the bill. I won't go through the bill section by section because I'm sure you've all read it ad nauseum. Each section of the bill is pretty well laid out and easy to understand. And so if you have any technical questions to the bill, I would refer you to either Representative Lesmeister or Mrs. Hruska with the governor's office. And with that, I thank you for your time and stand by for questions.
Thank you for that. Are there any further proponent testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Orrin Lesmeister, District 28A, of course, in doing Zeebout County. Just to reiterate what the good senator just said, yes, this has been a long ride, a long process, a long learning curve, however you want to look at it. Really, this is a 5-year in the making. This is a bill that has been amended prior to committee. Or during our committee, we amended it a few times, summer study committee I'm talking about. When we got here in the House, we addressed a few other concerns as far as where the language should be in the bill, and that was what the good senator spoke to, is we moved some sections around, really, is all it came down to, and made it easier to read, made it easier to propagate rule. The USDA had come down with their rules at that time. We had to make a few changes to line up with the federal regs. And with that, we have House Bill 1008 as amended in front of you today. I think it's a great bill, and I hope you see favorable to pass it. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Is there any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Ken Meyer, Vice President of A.H. Meyer & Sons. For 60 years, our family business has been located in Winfred, South Dakota, just west of Madison. We employ 15 people. If House Bill 1008 passes, it is likely that within a couple years of passage, we will add 3 to 5 additional employees. This is because, as part of our business, we operate a supercritical CO2 extraction facility. If we can be licensed to process industrial hemp at our extraction facility, we will be able to hire the additional 3 to 5 employees because we will be able to add industrial hemp to the products we already process. We will be able to use the full capacity of our plant. This will result in meaningful economic development in our rural community. This past year, it was my privilege to attend each of the sessions of the Legislative Summer Hemp Study. As a representative of a South Dakota business ready to be an industrial hemp processor, I was given the opportunity to testify in those proceedings and also the benefit of hearing from the other witnesses presenting to the committee the benefits of industrial hemp and how to do it right in our state. As a South Dakota company that stands ready to help South Dakota join 47 other states in the economic development opportunity of industrial hemp, we thank Representative Lesmeister for his tireless championing of this opportunity for South Dakota. We thank the sponsors of House Bill 1008, Senator Klum and Representative Qualm. And we thank Governor Noem for her well-thought-out guardrails that are largely now a part of House Bill 1008. House Bill 1008 is a true compromise that will work and will benefit South Dakota. I urge your due pass recommendation.
Thank you for that. Any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chair, and to the members of the Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee, my name is Katie Hruska, and I'm from the Governor's Office. Before the committee is House Bill 1008, the Act to Legalize the Growth, Production, and Transportation of Hemp. The conversation over legalizing hemp has been long, and it continued last session in 2019 and ended with the governor's veto being upheld. In that veto message, the governor asserted that the state was not ready for industrial hemp yet. Among the many challenges were maintaining our effective law enforcement for our drug laws. not allowing hemp to become normalized into the use of marijuana, the lack of federal rules that guide the growth and transportation of hemp, and the unknown safety of consuming CBD products and the effects that CBD products will have on our ingestion laws. As the governor stated in her State of the State this year, legalizing hemp is still not a good idea, but there are still challenges to drug enforcement that are inevitable because hemp and marijuana are so indistinguishable without the expensive chemical lab tests. The FDA still has not approved the use of CBD products for consumer use or whether they're safe for therapeutic uses. However, some of the other challenges have been addressed or can be mitigated through a strong state-run program. First, the USDA has come down with its interim rules. While pending comment and final approval, gives us a much better idea of how the federal government will regulate hemp production. Second, several of our tribes have submitted hemp plans, and at least one tribe has an approved plan. Third, all of our neighboring states, almost all of our neighboring states, and states across the country are producing hemp, and so we'll need to deal with the transportation of hemp through our state. And fourth, the legislative summer study this past summer met several times and with due diligence and lots of thoughtful deliberation has come up with a very good framework to start from for running a hemp program in the state. The bill, now as amended, builds on that study's original structure and now adds in the guardrails to ensure that hemp production in the state is not negatively impacting our drug-fighting efforts. Just before session, our office issued the four guardrails, which the pages have handed out to you. Those need to be built into this program as a path forward for legalizing hemp. The bill, now as amended, contains three of those four guardrails. To be clear, nothing in this bill currently meets the fourth guardrail for adequate funding to ensure the lasting integrity of this program. The fourth guardrail needs to be addressed during the budget process. We estimate that there should be about, for costs, $3.5 million in one-time and ongoing, and of that, $1 million is general funds between both the one-time and the ongoing. As for the three guardrails that this bill does meet, it now includes reliable enforcement, responsible regulation, and safe transportation. Moving to the bill itself, the amendment that was put on during House Ag Committee was a build-off from the original 1008. Many of the same policy decisions from the sponsors of that bill are still within this amended bill. Since announcing the governor's guardrails on a path forward to legalizing hemp, representatives from three state agencies and from our office worked as quickly as possible to get this legislation to fit within the parameters. The bill, now as amended, is a product of that work, but it's also a product of the collaboration we've had with the bill sponsors, who also suggested several changes through that process, in particular, the increase in fees from the original bill and the second processor licensing scheme. I want to also thank the folks from our team who worked very hard on this bill. It was very much a team effort. Jason Simmons and Kara Sumler from our office. We also had our cabinet secretaries from the three agencies, Secretary Price, Secretary Vanneman, and Secretary Molson-Ryzen, and their wonderful staff, including Joan Adam, who's here as well. They all made themselves very available and worked long nights and weekends to get this ready for your consideration. And thank you very much to all the bill sponsors, including Representative Qualm and Lesmeister, and Senators Blair, Foster, and Klum. And with that, I guess, thank you, Mr. Chair, and we'll stick around for questions.
Thank you for that. Any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chair, committee members, Doug Abraham. I'm an attorney for Peer and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. The retailers support HB 1008. We have a little different angle in that regard. It's important because the bill defines industrial hemp, which would include CBD products with less than 0.3% THC content. The bill then excludes industrial hemp from the definition of marijuana, making clear that CBD products with less than 0.3% THC content are legal for sale. Right now, we're in a really gray area and state of limbo as to whether CBD products are legal for sale in South Dakota. The AG has taken the position that all CBD products are illegal at present for sale, while state's attorneys have taken varying positions. We think this leaves retailers in a really unfortunate policy position, and this bill provides that necessary definition to know that retailers can offer these products, they're lawful for sale, and have clarity as to what they can offer in their stores. So we'd encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Is there any further proponent testimony?
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Doug Somke. I farm up in the Groton Condi area. Oh, sorry about that. Farm up in the Groton Condi area. I'm also the president of South Dakota Farmers Union. Last week, I had a member of our staff send you all a video that was produced by South Dakota Public TV for the South Dakota Focus show. Did you all receive that? Did you get a chance to view it? Because if you did, if you got to view it, then I don't need to talk about anything here. Everything was said that I'm going to say in that video.
Well, thank you for coming.
Like I said, my name is Doug Somke, and since 2005, I've been had the distinct honor to be the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union, where I represent 18,000 members across the state of South Dakota farmers and ranchers. For the last 42 years, my wife and I have raised our four children on our homestead, Somke Homestead, and also the farm that I grew up on. And lately now, the last 15 years, my three sons have come back to the farm. They're doing the day-to-day management of Coteauview Farms, while at the same time, one of them runs a soil business, one of them runs a lodge, and one of them runs a dog kennel. So I guess what I'm saying is farmers look for ways to be diversified, and my family's no different. I don't tell you these things because I'm bragging about what we've accomplished, but I'm just telling you that our family just works just as hard as just as any other family does in agriculture, and they're looking for more diverse ways to be profitable. As president of South Dakota Farmers Union, we support the passage of HB 1008. Our farmers need more opportunities to be diversified and become closer to their consumers. Hemp is an unlimited potential for value-added products in the step of the right direction for diversity and networking for farmers today. According to the January issue of the Hemp Business Journal, there are 50,000 products currently being made from industrial hemp and more being discovered every day. Hemp products run the gamut of items that are being used for building materials, human food supplements, pharmaceutical supplements, and healthcare items, not to mention animal feed supplements and automobile components, and the list goes on, all which are potential to be developed in our local communities, as you heard earlier. And what this would do is add jobs to our local communities rather than seeing consolidation of our businesses in our towns. Some products that South Dakota Farmers Union is promoting through research is seed development, hemp wrap or net wrap for hay bales, and lick tubs, all which would replace these non-erodible petroleum products that are not only harmful to the environment, but also harmful to our livestock. We have several cases that have been documented, not just in South Dakota, but around the country, of cattle that have died from the accumulation of plastic in their stomachs from eating these net wraps. We also support the hemp fiber known as hempcrete. Not only does hempcrete help with the R value in a building, but it also helps with the strength of the building as well. In the business environment that we have here in South Dakota and the soil types we have and the growing days that we have, I have no doubt that South Dakota farmers can take the most potential from this opportunity to raise hemp in South Dakota. You know, the 90-day planting to harvest would have been a great opportunity for farmers down in the southeast, especially this last couple years when we were short on feed and short on bedding. And hemp has a great opportunity to grow quickly and be harvested or be used for that type of forage, for either livestock forage or livestock bedding. And for the conservationists, hemp is a great product for wildlife. My sons that have the hunting lodge see this as an opportunity to plant it for a cover crop and also for protection throughout the winter because it can grow quite tall. just like the challenges of planting these last few years, my sons had the same problem planting their plots for their hunting lodge. So it's not just farmers that are being affected by this extreme weather. And as mentioned, you know, we are facing some legal challenges, even if we don't have HB 1008, because there's other states around us that are going to have this going through our state. They're either going to be accepting it or shipping it through here. And HB 1008 has addressed ways that we can help fund the needs to police those products going through our state. The million-dollar question, though, is will there be enough product in profit in hemp business to go forward and go around? In my opinion, if there's profitability in it, the businessmen and women and farmers and ranchers in South Dakota, they will find it, and they will make the most of their ability. Will there be growing pains and some major curves in this product going forward? You can bet your belt buckle there will be. But the fact of the matter is we should face those challenges, because that's what's made the farmers and ranchers in the state of South Dakota great and in this nation. I'm very confident that also with the tools that farmers have in technology today, that they will be able to do and produce this product to the best of their ability. And with a little help from Mother Nature, hopefully we'll see some farmers start to make a little profit in this, which is something that we definitely need. It's been a long time since I've seen a lot of smiling faces on farmers, no matter what part of the diversity scale they're in, livestock or grain. So with that, I end my testimony, Mr. Chairman, and stand by for questions.
Thank you for that. Is there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Deborah Owen from the Sioux Falls Area Chamber of Commerce, where we have about 2,000 members who employ about 80,000 employees. We rise in support of House Bill 1008. We have two specific members who are engaged in manufacturing now that this would, one would increase their, almost double their employees when this passes. So the chamber supports legislation that enhances agribusiness in South Dakota, including the expansion of our agricultural products, services, and technologies. We also want to take time to thank our legislature for their work over the summer and the Industrial Hemp Study Committee that met, and also the conversations and compromises with the governor's administration on this bill. So thank you so much.
Thank you for that. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to waive his rebuttal? All right. With that, we will move it back to the committee for questions. Any members have questions? Senator Blair.
Yeah, I have one for the president of the Farmers Union. If you would, please. Mr. Chairman, the question I have is, did I understand that this could be used for livestock feed?
Mr. Chair, yes, it can be. There's a company in Montana right now that is grinding this just like a silage and using it for feed.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Senator Heinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This probably be for maybe Representative Lesmeister. Good morning, Representative. My question is on Section 16 of the bill, the transportation. I'm sorry, not 16, 17.
17.
Where it talks about a transportation permit. So is that permit for every load that a transporter would be hauling? Walk me through what your vision of what Section 17 would look like.
Mr. Chair, it's
Thank you, Senator Heiner. Orrin Lesmeister, District 28A. So in the permitting process, Senator, what happens is if HB 1008 as amended passes is when a producer goes in and goes through his background check with Department of Ag and gets his license if he's passes all the checks, at that time he would receive a transportation permit within his licensing to transport his hemp, say his seed, to the field. And then when at harvest time, if he passes all the checks and compliance is there, when he harvests the hemp, he can haul that back out off his field to his place of storage. And reason why we did that in talking with the departments, we already know his GPS coordinates, where he lives and everything else on where his fields are going to be. So that's why we built that license or that permit into his licensing. The second part of that is if you have an OTR driver that you hire in and bring him in order to transport your hemp to California, for say, wherever it may be, to a processor, he needs to have that permit to travel out of state with every load. The other thing we had to build into it, Senator, was we had no way to collaborate with other states. So South Dakota issues this permit to this OTR driver. He travels out of state, and blinker violation or whatever, he gets pulled over, and they say, "What are you hauling?" And he says, "Industrial hemp." And they say, "Oh, how do you prove that?" Well, with this paperwork from the South Dakota Department of Ag, or it could be on his tablet, you know, with the smartphones and smart tablets today, he can say, "I have this permit from South Dakota." How can they verify it? We had to build some language in there also so our departments could share that language with other state highway patrol agencies or Department of Ags also. So does that answer your question totally, Senator?
Follow-up. I appreciate that answer, and that kind of focuses on the South Dakota producer and how they transport their product. I guess my question would be, what about somebody who's growing it in Montana or another state and is either traveling through our state or getting it processed in South Dakota? Is there a number they can call to receive the permit? When I take my truck to another state and I need a temporary fuel permit or something, I mean, there's always a number I can call and I'm issued a permit for a small fee, depending on how many miles I'm going to be in that state. Is that what you're saying Section 17 will do along those same lines? Or is this, if you could maybe speak to that, if you don't know or somebody else could answer that, that'd be fine.
Mr. Chair. Senator, thank you for the question. Yes, that's exactly, you're spot on. You will, if you're from out of state and going to travel through South Dakota, it's just like an over-width permit, over-weight permit, over-height permit, any of them things that happen now through the DPS, this would be handled the same way, correct?
Yeah, that's all I need. Thank you.
Any further questions by the committee? Senator Sulholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be a question. It's regarding the whole CBD oil, so I don't know if that's Department of Health or the Attorney General's office, but just in the sections on the control within Schedule 1, 2, 3, 4.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Joan Adam. I'm with the Department of Health.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, so we heard from the Attorney General's office that, you know, of course, CBD oil right now in all forms is illegal in South Dakota. Yet over the last couple of years, you know, we've had many people come up and testify using CBD oil, selling CBD oil. I mean, you know, to the point where you're like, don't say that on the microphone. But, you know, and just a lot of confusion that we've had in updating the scheduled drugs and all those kinds of things. What kind of pathway do you see forward? And, you know, I've read the language with respect to schedules, you know, 2 through 4. I know that the full rules are not out yet from the federal government on the guidelines for this. How do you see us moving forward in relationship to what's been written statutorily and having that happen? And what is the time frame? because there's enabling language, but then we have all the rules promulgation in relationship to it. How do we start to, I mean, what is your thinking on this pathway forward? Because as was testified, they're not ready from the federal government.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I will give that a shot, an answer to that question. Hopefully I'm addressing your question. So currently, if a substance contains any amount of THC, then the individual in possession of that substance is guilty of a criminal act or can be prosecuted, can be tried. With the Farm Bill, the clarification was that THC in the form of less than 0.3% or less is considered, is not considered illegal. So how that translates for the Department of Health in particular is currently forensic testing that is conducted at the State Public Health Laboratory. We're currently just looking, is there any amount of THC? Any amount of THC is illegal. With the bill, we will need to implement testing that enables us to detect the percentage of THC. So 0.3 or less would be not illegal in South Dakota. Anything higher, they would continue to be in possession of an illegal substance.
Follow-up? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, so in this whole, so it's just no matter what the manufacturing, the packaging, whatever they may have that they're selling, as long as it meets those requirements, we're either against the law or with the law.
Mr. Chairman, that would be correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions by the committee? Senator Foster.
Thank you. This would be for Attorney Huska. I'm not sure. Yes. So thank you for presenting the four guardrails. My question is adequate funding. When you're going through these numbers would need to be addressed regardless if this is legalized or not, because the expenses would be there because of the other states transporting through the state. Correct?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Katie Haruska with the Governor's Office. It is true that we can't have barriers on interstate commerce for hemp. And so there will be certain aspects of not violating the Interstate Commerce Clause that we need to deal with.
Okay. So just to clarify, there will be expense to the state regardless if this is passed or not, correct?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what those expenses would be.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, so on that vein, so right now, as we have a tribe that their proposal has already been approved, that they have submitted one, and we have interstate commerce in relationship to this, and you have, you know, officers, this is like an additional budgeting. So what is in the governor's budget this year to attend to the details, whether or not we had this bill, the issues that arose last year of talking about what's happening on federal lands and what's happening with interstate commerce and the testing? There has to be something in the budget right now. What is that in relationship to these dollars?
Mr. Chair, and so there's nothing in the budget right now for that because we knew that the House Bill 1008 has been presented. And so the cost estimates that have been provided along with the guardrails are specific for 1008.
Follow up? So coming into the budget, being against 1008 in the beginning, I mean, legitimately so, not knowing if 1008 would be reconciled on the House side, there was no dollars, no appropriated dollars to deal with the issues that existed whether or not 1008 passed one way or another.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to toss it over to DPS.
Hi.
Good morning. My name is Craig Price, and I'm the Cabinet Secretary for Public Safety. And this has been one of the issues that we've been questioned on coming up to the hearing today. And we believe that if 1008 wouldn't pass, we believe that there's going to be a significant lower number of transportation issues that we're going to need to deal with, and believe that we could handle that with our current staffing and equipment. We might need to get some equipment for testing, et cetera, but for the most part, we could absorb what we were looking forward to seeing. If 1008 passes, then what we're going to see is a larger number of producers, adding staff, which we've heard this morning, more people. South Dakota is going to be a destination for hemp that's grown in other locations. We're going to have farmers in South Dakota that are growing hemp, as we've heard testimony on. So we believe that with the increased levels in relation to that taking place, we're going to need the additional resources that we've laid out for 1008.
Thank you.
Any further questions by the committee?
Mr. Chair. That's for Secretary Price.
Not so fast.
And I'm just going to follow up on Senator Sold's question. Without 1008, the tribe of Flandreau has been approved now to grow this. Wouldn't they be growing it? And so, I mean, I understand the concern of having too many or more people growing this. But my question is, what's planned for, working with the tribes and all that as far as, because that's already happening.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think that's a good question. And I can't remember when the tribes announced or received the approval that they were going to be moving forward with this November. I mean, so it's fairly recent, just a few months ago. So clearly, I think we have a demonstrated history of working with tribes on issues that surface and come up in our state. And I would see this as no different. Again, if a tribe is going to be transporting hemp off the reservation to another state, or if there's going to be states that are transporting hemp through our state to a destination producer that's on a tribe, we would put the mechanisms in place for those transportation permits. And again, we believe that we would be able to handle that within our current budget. We wouldn't anticipate such an increased level that we wouldn't be able to.
Follow-up. Thank you. I think I beat her to the follow-up. Without this bill, how would we address the issues of, say, the Flandreau tribe growing this? Because without this, it's illegal. Now, granted, there's different laws on the tribes, but we still have to have all the same stuff. So how is it going to be addressed if this doesn't pass? I mean, with specifically to the tribes, growing, cultivating, all this stuff.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. We will, of course, if it's happening on the reservation, we don't have any jurisdiction over that, where it would become part of something we need to plan for and that we're thinking about and probably will, depending on what happens with this. We will have to set up a process so that hemp can be legally transported from the exterior boundaries of the reservation through state jurisdiction, wherever the destination might be, or vice versa. If it's coming in from out of state and destined for a reservation, we're going to have that process set up to handle that.
Senator Sold.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have an emergency clause on this bill? Right. Okay. So when you look at the timing in reviewing the bill and all the statutory requirements of actually getting into production, starting to do manufacturing, all of the different, how do you feel that the budget feels like a full production budget versus a one-time ongoing, we're working our way into this. So what was the thinking about what would really need to be budgeted in 20 and then 21 and the incremental? I'm just curious about this $3 million budget in relationship to what are the expectations of production and manufacturing? What were your assumptions that you based this upon?
Mr. Chair, that's difficult to say what assumptions it was based upon, because we don't know exactly what it's going to look like if it passes. I mean, is there going to be 10 producers or 100? Or are there going to be 10 transported loads? Or are there going to be 1,000 transport? Nobody really knows. I can tell you we had a hemp case that's still in court, so I can't talk about the specific details of it this last summer in, I think, Jackson County, where the load did not have the proper paperwork. And the amount of time that we've spent just on that particular case is almost 80 solid hours, and it's still in the middle of the court process. That's not including testing costs, everything else that goes along with it. So we believe and really appreciate the governor's guardrails, because before the guardrails were in place, we were having discussions about what this might look like for an impact on public safety, and it was significantly more. And then when the guardrails were put in place, we scaled that back because we do believe that that gives us more of an opportunity to adequately deal with the issue we're going to be facing with. So, again, it's really hard to say because nobody knows. But we do realize from the experiences that other states have had that this has an impact on your regular drug enforcement. And it takes time away from the current resources that you have to deal with this issue, where otherwise they wouldn't have to. That would have been 80 hours that we could have spent on meth interdiction, or 80 hours we could have spent on crash investigation or speed enforcement, whatever the other duties of the Highway Patrol are. So that's how we're moving forward with these projections.
One more.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Secretary Price. So am I hearing correctly that, because there's 15 FTEs requested in this budget, and so you're telling me that a request for 15 FTEs was total, this is health lab, program manager, was based on not coming forward with assumptions in a business plan? I'm just trying to understand.
No, I mean, we've had lengthy discussions internally about what we think this would take. Do I have a written, documented business plan that if it were going to be 1,000 growers and 300 producers, this is what it would take? I don't have that in writing. But we've had discussions about what we think that it would take to adequately address 1008 as proposed. Okay. And then we submitted those, and they were recommended by the governor.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any further questions by the committee? Any further questions by the committee? Seeing none, we will close the question portion and move on to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Heinert. Due pass on House Bill 1008. Any discussion on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, we haven't had a lot of discussion here today because I think we've discussed it all a lot. We all understand that the funding portion of this is what has to be hammered out yet. This bill is not that portion, and I assure you there are meetings about to be held that will discuss this, and we'll see where we go with those. As far as the hemp program and product and stuff, I don't know that this is going to be a golden egg for anyone. I don't think it's going to save anyone's farm, but I think what it is another tool in a farmer's toolbox that if it fits their operation, if they do due diligence, I've been telling farmers, don't, if we pass this, don't even go buy seed until you know where that product is going to go. I've seen plenty of news stories and posts about, oh, they still have hemp products sitting around that's been waiting to be sold. Don't even go investigate where you're going to buy seed until you know where your product is going to go in the end. And in this first year, I hope that if we do pass this and we get the funding figured out, I hope we see less than 1,000 acres planted. I don't want to start off all gung-ho and we get ourselves into trouble. I've heard enough of the Jerusalem artichoke story that I don't want this to turn into that. I want us to take it very slow and very carefully. And for that, to that point, I don't think that the costs that DPS is predicting are going to be there. I hope it's very small. I hope that what we see, I will know exactly where those fields are and how small they're going to be. We'll have time to go test those in time. The farmer who is law-abiding is going to have all his paperwork in a row, and those who are going to use this product in order to move illegal drugs or anything like that are probably already doing it through many other means. Not saying I don't want to. I laud our law enforcement, and I care about them deeply. I just don't see that this is going to make the process of moving illegal drugs, it's already happening. So I urge your support in this and urge you to pass. Thank you.
Any further comments? Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's well known that last year I was a staunch no on this, and my original being a no was due to the fact when this hit Senate Ag last year, we had four or five departments from the state come forward and ask us to delay this for a year, let them have the opportunity to get up to speed.
which I think they've done. Excuse me, I still had heartburn with it up until this morning. And got to thinking about different variables here, where the CBD oil, I have a lot of people that I know that have come to me that get a lot of comfort out of this medicinally. So, and I've come out publicly and said that I do support the CBD oil. And so with the passage of this hemp bill, will certainly help that become legal in our state for people to use those products. I'm still staunchly against any type of marijuana products, and I do know that on the ballot coming before us this year is a measure for us to vote on that's recreational marijuana, and I believe it's got a hemp factor in it as well. So my hope is that if I can be bold enough to become a yes today, along with a lot of others, that and this does pass and it becomes legal in this state, that the folks will go to the polls and vote down the recreational one because we've taken care of that part of the situation. So ironically, from when the time I got up this morning till now, I'm going to be a yes.
Thank you for that, Senator Blair.
I'm in the same boat, except that I've been yes after the study committee. You know, what we've done was very carefully thought out. I think the governor was right. I think we were right in saying let's wait until we get this all right. The USDA came out with a lot of good information. No, no, no. Don't grow this stuff unless you know your seed is certified and it is good and it's legitimate and you have an end source and you know what you're doing. That's what I say to anybody that wants to produce this. And if you do that, and you have all those things in place, God be with you. I think you got a good chance to, you know, have another alternative market. I'm all for that. Those markets will expand. I never thought we'd be growing wine and selling it successfully in this state the way we are right now. It's very successful. But you have to know what you're doing. One of the things in the USDA report that I wanted to see was the fact that if you grow this and it's over 0.3, you are committing a felony. And they came out and said, you just don't diss that under. They come out with the rules on the fact that, no, if you did that and you didn't do it intentionally, you are not guilty. That wasn't clear before. That's clear now, but there's a way to dispose of it, and it's highly recommended in there how you do it. Not recommended, it's told how you do it through the DEA, destroying that. The other thing was, our rules protect more than the feds' rules do. We've gone farther. And that was at the actually the urging from those who are supporting the bill last year. They say, we want to make this so it's as enforceable as it can be for law enforcement to help them out. I agree. I think there's things built into this cost structure that come from the governor's office that are there regardless. That guy that got caught, they're going to get caught. Whether we pass this bill or not, you're going to have those expenses. So we need to start proactively looking at that. They're going to be transporting product through there. They need to know what they're doing, and thankfully they'll get caught if they're breaking the law. And I appreciate that fact. But again, like the governor, I think it was good for us to wait. I think this is a good bill, and I want to thank everybody for cooperating from the governor's office on down to making this bill a good one. And I think there's opportunity there, but not for everyone in South Dakota.
Any further comments? Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I just want to thank the folks that were in leadership on the interim work and all the people that served on the committee. It takes a lot of time to go into conversation and dialogue at depth. And anytime you're doing something of this massive nature that really changes the course of public policy within the state, it just takes that kind of due diligence. So, you know, from the contentious bill last year that, you know, we were not together and united from a legislative branch to an executive branch, it's really what it takes to have something like this happen and to have South Dakota be in concert with what's going on at the federal level, but then also seeing what's going to work in our state. So thank you for that incredible effort.
Any further comments? Any further comments? Seeing none, the chair will make a comment. And I'd like to echo the comments that have been made. This has been a monumental demonstration of cooperation amongst a lot of different folks in a lot of different departments. I really appreciate that. And I also appreciate the words of caution. never underestimate the ability of American farmer to overproduce, and this is not an exception here. So we want to make sure that we grow the market ahead of the production. And with that, we will have the secretary call the roll. The motion on the floor is do pass House Bill 1008.
Senators Blair.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
The vote is unanimous.
Consent.
Shut up.
The chair rules against that motion. Okay, with that, we have one additional bill that we need to take care of, and that is Senate Bill 158, and at the sponsor's request, he would like us to dispose of it.
Mr. Chair, I move we table 158.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg, to table Senate Bill 158, and that is non-debatable. The secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
Senate Bill 158 is hereby tabled. With that, I believe we've committed.
Second.
Okay, fine.
Aye.
Senator Klum moves. Senator Youngberg second. And all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, we're adjourned.